no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This week on the Relic Radio Show, we'll begin with High Adventure. Hear their story from October 27, 1953, titled The Hungry Peacock. After that, it's The Whistler and Three Wise Guys. Their story from December 24th, 1950.
Actually, it was a very interesting choice. The money, the girl, or my life. And obviously, the first two will be of no use to me without the third. Yet the price for my life might well be, to use a common expression, murder.
This is Hungry Peacock, starring Basil Rathbone and Anna Lee. A suspense story of the one thrilling moment in a man's life that can only be called High Adventure. High Adventure, the top of the world in action drama for men. Presented by Scholten, makers of Old Spice aftershave lotion, for that top of the world feeling after every shave. Cool, clean, and wonderful. That sounds like a pretty good way for a man to feel, doesn't it? And I'm willing to bet that that's the way you'll feel when you use Old Spice aftershave lotion with your morning shave. You'll find there's a wide awake freshness about Old Spice lotion that adds real pleasure to your shaving. And you'll agree with me that Old Spice lotion is the perfect finish for a shave. Uncomfortable razor burn vanishes instantly, and your face feels smooth and comfortable. Old Spice lotion has a clean, fresh, masculine scent that men prefer, and the handsome ship-decorated bottles are a pleasure for a man to see and to use. No wonder more men buy Old Spice than any other aftershave lotion at a dollar. Try Old Spice aftershave lotion tomorrow morning, and you'll use it every time you shave. And now to the high adventure story, The Hungry Peacock, written and directed by Robert Monroe, starring Basil Rathbone and Anna Lee, as told by the man who lived it, a man called Norman Cortland.
A very interesting name, Norman Cortland. I've used it for years, and I assure you I gave a great deal of thought as to the best name for a person such as myself. Naturally, I wasn't concerned with the legal ways of adopting a name. I've never concerned myself with legal matters. They always bore me, to put it mildly. Norman Cortland conveyed the precise impression I desired in my contact with life around me, and so I deliberately... well, but I wanted to tell you of a little adventure, not of such prosaic things as names. This one, the big one, began, I believe, that day Mug and I were experiencing a small difficulty on the Shore Limited. Mug was my devoted traveling companion, and then at times, well, I needed him. The situation was one that I should have been able to handle with my customary ease, a little matter of tickets.
Conductor's coming again.
Mug, you always worry about trivialities.
Well, that's a cinch. We can't stay in the washroom all the whole trip.
Have I ever forced you to stay in the...
Well, hold it. Here he comes. I don't like the way he looks.
Nonsense.
You find your ticket, Mr. Cortland?
Why, no, it's the strangest thing. I was sure I put it in my wallet. You're positive I didn't give it to you, Mug.
What? Oh, no, no.
Well, conductor, you must have it listed on your reservation schedule.
We don't.
No?
No.
Oh, that's extraordinary. Miss Summers, my secretary, made the reservation a week ago.
We don't have any record of it.
Oh, most distressing.
Yes.
In that event, I suppose we'll have to take potluck with whatever you
have. Lost your passage ticket with the reservation, didn't you?
Why, yes, I must have. They were together.
And you'll have to buy tickets in addition to the space. Where were you going?
Chicago.
With space, that'll be $62.50.
Very well. You make out the form and I'll sign it.
I see.
We'll be in the club, Gog. Come along, Gog.
Sure. Just a minute.
Yes?
I think you better wait here.
What is it?
Yes, you wait right here. I won't be long.
What got into him?
Bring the bags, Mug.
What?
Quickly.
I don't get it.
We're in luck. The train's stopping.
Well, what's the hurry?
One of the secrets of graceful living is to remember faces.
Faces?
We have met our conductor friend before. It came to me not a moment too soon, did it?
Sure. What did?
2 years ago, when we took the Century West, they will always believe you once, but never twice in the identical situation.
Yeah, this was the same conductor.
Yeah, open the door.
I can't. I got the bag.
All right, I'll do it.
You want me to go first?
No, I'll make it. Hurry up, Mug. Train's only stopped for a signal or something.
I'm coming. There. Here it goes. It was a nice ride while it lasted.
These bushes will stain my trousers, I'm sure of it.
Yeah, we would have to hitch a train with the same conductor. Now what? Hey, I saw a road up on the other side of the ravine. Maybe we can,
From a ride?
Oh, it's better than walking.
Beg from someone. Plaintively hold out your hand and beg someone to give you out of the charity of his soul.
All right, boss. I should know better. Mm-hmm.
Come on. Let's see what the road you saw has to offer.
Some food, I hope.
Almost a forest, isn't it?
Yeah. I wish we could have promoted the club car before we got off. I bet they had some food if we'd asked.
Mug.
What's up?
Look.
Hey, it's a car.
Obviously.
Mashed up, ain't it?
Must have cost around $4,000.
Well, anybody who can afford to buy a buggy like that can afford to crack it up. Hey.
What is it?
Guy's still in it.
Let's see.
You bet he never knew what happened.
Certainly dead.
You can say that twice.
I wish you wouldn't keep on using that expression. Why should I say it twice?
I don't know.
Get his wallet, if it's still there.
Huh? Oh, yeah. He won't be needing it, will he?
No, certainly not.
I get it.
Well, now let's see.
How much? Is there any money in it?
Yes, I suppose so.
You suppose so. Maybe you don't know it, boss, but we don't have any. What are you reading?
It was in the wallet. Listen to this. This will introduce the bearer as our representative for any further negotiations on the Conley matter. He is empowered to make any contracts on our behalf. Signed, William Summers, National Trade Fast Corporation.
So? Is there any money in the wallet?
Addressed to Arthur Leeds, Brooklyn. Arthur Leeds? Arthur Leeds, if I remember correctly, is a wealthy eccentric. Yes, he is.
Will that stop us from eating?
Mug, one of the first rules of graceful living is to take advantage of opportunities that luck drops into your lap.
A wallet full of money, you can say that.
Mug.
All right.
We will go visit Arthur Leeds.
Yeah, well, what do you want to do that for? You don't owe him no visit.
Oh, yes, yes, but this poor man does. This poor dead man, so we'll do it for him.
Hey.
You begin to think, Mug. It says empowered to make any contracts on our behalf, the bearer. Contracts infer money, don't they, Mug?
Yeah, they do.
So we will see what kind of contracts Mr. Arthur Leeds will make. This may be our big promotion, as you call it.
Yeah.
If he has 10 or 11 million, he won't mind a deal involving, say, a quarter of one of those millions. Do you think so?
And you're the guy that can take it from him.
With this letter of introduction, I am the guy. You see, I'm hungry too, Mug. Exceedingly hungry. As I suspected, Brookline, where Mr. Arthur Leeds could be found, was not too far from the spot where Mug and I left the train. With the aid of our new funds, we were able to hire a local man to drive us to his estate. It was a huge castle on the peak of a hill, done in extremely bad taste. Extremely bad taste of one who, well, a man, you know, who had too much money and didn't bother to learn how to live with it. The letter of introduction served exactly the purpose I intended it to. It is always the ambition of one such as myself to effect a casual meeting with a fool with money. When I met Arthur Leeds, it looked to me my one great opportunity.
This over here, Mr. Cortland, this is a little piece of art I bought down in New Mexico. I think I've discovered a truly great new artist for the world. Yes, I think I have.
Now, how much did you pay for it?
$18,000. I think it was $18,000. Yes, it was $18,000. But it was cheap at that price.
Yes,
cheap.
It was, I assure you. Yes, I agree with you.
Well, I'm certainly glad to meet someone who appreciates true art.
I do, I assure you, Mr. Leeds. Your purchase of that painting was certainly the work of a great artist.
Shakedown artist? What?
Mug is merely using an old expression. He meant he would like to shake the hand of the man who did the job.
Oh, yes. You'd enjoy talking with Andrea. She likes artistic things, too.
Your wife?
Well, not yet, but soon. Come on, she's in the studio.
Well, perhaps she doesn't want to be disturbed.
Well, you don't know Andrea. Andrea, honey?
Yes, what is it?
This is Mr. I always forget names.
Norman Cortland.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Mr. Cortland is quite an authority on paintings, I am finding out. And he... There's something wrong, honey?
No, of course not. I'm sure we'll enjoy talking, Mr. Cortland, if you enjoy artistic things.
I especially enjoy watching an artist at work.
I see.
Is this something you were doing yourself?
Yes, I dabble at it.
Well, Andrea's very modest. She's quite an artist in her own right.
Yes, I can see that immediately.
Can you?
Is that so strange?
No, I suppose not.
She's also a countess, but you'd never know it the way she acts, would you?
No, I certainly wouldn't.
You can say that twice.
What?
Arthur, you must put your guest at ease. Why don't you show the man where he can safely leave the bag?
Yes, yes, I will. You just follow me.
Huh? Sure. Some dump you got here.
Cost me over $400,000, but I like it.
Don't touch that, if you please.
Pardon me. It is such an exquisitely ornate knife and the long, slender blade. Wonderful workmanship.
I had it in a certain position. I'm going to sketch it.
Of course. Is it yours?
One from Arthur's collection.
He collects many strange things, I gather.
Yes. Yes, he does.
I should hate to have someone come at me with something like that.
It is designed to be thrown, Mr. Cortland.
Yes.
Will you be leaving tonight?
You know, I would scarcely take you for a countess.
No?
And one with a talent for painting. That is quite an unusual combination.
Is it?
I'm sure Mr. Leeds must find it very attractive.
Perhaps he does.
A kindred soul who loves the unusual and the lure of nobility. Add to that a beautiful woman. Oh, what chance does he have?
What chance does anyone have, Mr. Cortland?
To one not completely skilled in his trade. None.
But to a competent person?
It merely offers a challenge. An interesting complication.
Yes.
Must we play with words?
What do you mean?
Come now. There's no need for pretense. I realized the situation the moment I saw you. I'm a person of quick decisions. There is enough for both of us. Shall we work together?
I don't understand.
I have no intention of upsetting your promotion, as Mug would call it. I am merely saying there is enough for both of us. I'm not greedy.
Go on.
And perhaps it will be easier for both of us if we cooperate and work together. I'm always in favor of cooperation instead of conflict. Do I make myself clear?
Yes.
Well, what you say, Countess?
I haven't the faintest idea what you mean.
Oh, very well.
I'm sorry you'll be leaving tonight, Mr. Cortland.
I'm not.
I think you will.
It is strictly against my principles to walk away from opportunity, shall we call it.
Another word for $10 million.
Or a portion thereof.
No portion thereof.
I think I will say.
I told you. What chance has anyone got?
Well, if there must be competition. Good luck in the game, Countess.
Thank you, Mr. Cortland.
I'm taking a rest, Mug.
So many rooms in this dump, you get lost.
Yeah, we'll have to work fast because we don't know how soon our dead friend in the car will be discovered. And now that you've disturbed my rest, it is best that I get started. Come on, Mug.
Well, what do you want me for?
I don't want the clever Miss Andrea walking in on my conversation with Mr. Leeds.
Oh, you want me to be lookout?
Simply wait in the hall outside. If she comes, be sure that I have ample warning.
Sure, sure, I get it.
And don't let anything stick to your fingers.
What?
Don't steal anything.
Oh, boss, I wouldn't.
You could ruin all my work, and this is one we don't want to miss.
Big, huh?
I think so.
The big, big one.
We can retire for a number of years if I'm successful.
Well, that's more like it.
But we have to work carefully. I think Mr. Leeds is in here. Now, I want you to stay out here in the hall and don't leave. You understand?
I'll be here, boss.
And if Miss Andrea comes, and if she starts to come inside, you come in with her.
I get it.
And if I'm lucky, we will soon have a chance. Now, look what you've done.
Yeah.
If your conception of a joke is to shove me on the floor, dust and lint completely covers my coat.
Well, I guess it's okay to get up now.
Sometimes, Mug, your crude sense of humor baffles me.
It ain't my sense of humor, boss. Look, sticking in the door.
What?
I'll pull it out for you.
Oh, knife.
Yeah, I seen it coming. Just caught the flash of it. Would have got you in the middle of the back. There. Hey, you want it?
No. Instruments of violence always nauseate me.
I can do more than that, you know.
Evidently, someone doesn't like me.
Yeah, you're cutting in on her territory.
Her?
Yeah, her.
Oh, that's absurd, Mug. I'm sure she's not the type of woman.
Oh, I was right. I thought I heard someone knock. Come in, Mr. Cotler.
Do what I told you, Mug.
Yeah, sure, boss.
Well, this is certainly an interesting place you have, Mr. Leeds.
Well, you haven't seen the real interesting part yet. No, you haven't.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, sit down, make yourself comfortable.
Thank you.
I suppose you're anxious to get down to business?
Well, yes, of course.
Well, so am I, Mr. Cortland, so am I. As a matter of fact, I was just going to call you when you knocked. So now that we're alone, let's get it over with, and then we both can relax.
An excellent idea.
Now, about the Connolly matter, I won't pay a cent more than $100.
Only $100? Why, that's certainly not in keeping with your name and reputation, Mr. Leeds.
Well, that's my final offer. And I don't see what this has to do with my reputation. $100,000, no more.
Hmm. Very well.
I don't want to argue about money.
I would like it in cash.
Yes, yes, I know. Your National Trade Fast Corporation made that clear to me at the start. I have it here with me in the house in small bills, as you asked.
That's very considerate of you.
They're not considerate, only I keep a bargain when I make it.
Naturally.
And I want you to leave immediately.
Now?
Yes, now.
It's rather late.
I'll have the money ready for you in a briefcase. and I'll call a taxicab for you.
But I don't know if we can catch a train.
You can drive to the next town. I don't want you here another hour. Do you understand me?
Very well.
I'll meet you at the side entrance in 10 minutes.
Thank you. Mug? Mug? Mug! Oh, that's strange. I told him specifically I
Are you looking for your friend?
Oh. Yes, yes, I am.
I think I can show you where he is.
Oh, you're very kind.
If he's still alive.
I told him to meet... What did you say?
I think he's downstairs.
In the dungeon, I suppose. This castle must have dungeons.
It does. I just found it.
Oh, well, that sounds interesting.
You asked me if I would cooperate with you before.
You should have taken it when I made the offer.
All right. Just go through the side entrance. I think you'll find your friend.
The side entrance?
I'll make out somewhere.
Why don't you show me where it is?
It's not hard to find.
I'm very interested in the side entrance.
You shouldn't be.
I'll only take you to the side.
You'll have to go in yourself.
Go in?
I don't think I could stand it again.
What's going on here?
Come on. You'll see for yourself.
Danger from an unknown murderer, a missing man, and a skillful game of conquest in a house of mystery. Danger, conquest, mystery. They are no strangers here, for these are the keynotes of high adventure. You know, good grooming is an important part of every man's everyday life. That's one reason why so many men make a habit of using Old Spice aftershave lotion. Once you've tried Old Spice lotion, I'm sure it'll become a part of your daily grooming you'll never want to miss. There are two generous sizes of this quality lotion, $1 and $1.75. Look for the handsome red Old Spice cartons at drug and department stores everywhere. And now, Shulton would like to take the opportunity on this, our last broadcast of the season, to thank the author and director of High Adventure, Robert Monroe, and the members of the cast for their fine performances over the past months. We also thank our listeners for their wonderful loyalty to the program and to Old Spice aftershave lotion. High Adventure will be on the air throughout the season. And we at Shulton will be with you again early in the fall. Meanwhile, keep on listening to High Adventure for the top of the world in action drama. And keep on using Old Spice aftershave lotion for that top of the world feeling after every shave. Now, back to the High Adventure story, The Hungry Peacock, starring Basil Rathbone and Anna Lee. The story of two people who came to conquer, with money and death as a prize for the winner. It is told by the man who lived it, Norman Cortland.
She was a beautiful woman, and I had failed to trust beautiful women before, and this time was no different. She said nothing as I followed her down the stairs and through the hall. There was a growing fright on her face as we turned and went down a second set of stairs to the left. And it is not the practice of one accustomed to the wilds of graceful living to let one's true emotions show visibly. There was far more going on in the ugly castle than appeared on the surface, and evidently we had walked into the middle of it. I would have to play my role carefully, and that was difficult until I knew my adversary. The stakes now seemed more than a paltry 100,000. My life is the one item on which I put no price.
That's the side entrance.
I see.
You can go in by yourself.
Just one moment.
Yes?
You said we both might need some help.
I'll get away.
You're going with me through the side entrance.
No.
I was nearly murdered once tonight, and I resent it very much.
When?
A side entrance should lead outside, but you said go in.
Please listen to me. Do you want to live?
That doesn't require an answer.
Then listen.
I don't think you...
The sucker is wise. Do you understand? He's wise.
What makes you think that?
And he's not the kind to call the police.
Police never worry me, but
he has his own ways, and I've seen them.
Through this side entrance, no doubt.
I thought it led out to the garden, and I went down. Oh, believe me, we've got to get away from here.
And leave a cool 100,000...
What do you think I'm leaving? He was going to buy my family estate in Spain for $500,000. Yes, he was. For $500,000.
I didn't know that old one still was in use.
It isn't funny. The sucker doesn't need the police, and he's wise.
I suppose he kills those he doesn't like.
That's exactly what he does. And it's how he does it.
Oh, nonsense.
Well, where's your friend Mug, as you call him? Where is he?
Oh, probably searching around the place for something valuable he can put in his pocket.
I'll show you. Are you coming?
Yes.
Look.
Very interesting. The old medieval torture rack.
Don't you see?
Oh, this must be the Chinese water stone. And there's an iron maiden. Very wonderful collection.
You're not looking.
What do you mean?
The stains on them.
Yes.
But look at them.
Why?
I believe it.
They're bloodstains and recent.
Oh, that's absurd.
Is it? I don't want to take the chance. Look at the signs over each one.
5,000. 2 hours on the rack. 50,000 insanity by water torture. 100,000 and over. A pound of pressure on the rack for every 1,000 until death.
Now do you see?
Oh, he's insane.
He has the money to do what he wants.
The police should know this.
Are you going to tell them?
No servants.
What?
That was what bothered me. Dust and lint on the floor. He has no servants, has he?
I don't know. He just brought me here this morning.
Did you see any?
No.
A perfect trap. No witnesses, no evidence that can't be explained by an eccentric millionaire. A perfect trap. And you walked into it.
So did you?
He had no idea I was interested in... No, he couldn't be.
What?
The Conley matter. National Trade Fast Corporation. That's the only answer. He set a trap for someone else, and I walked into it.
Oh, he's crazy. You can see he is.
I've got to find Mug.
I heard some groaning from the room beyond. That's what frightened me.
Come on, we'll see.
Hey.
Mug!
Hey, I've been yelling my head off till I can't yell no more.
I'll cut you down.
Floor started sinking, left me hanging by my thumb.
Oh, it's horrible.
You have to find something to cut the ropes.
Ain't got all my weight on him yet. Not all. I can still touch with my toes.
Oh, hurry, it must hurt terribly.
Yeah, you can say that twice.
What?
Yeah. An incredible piece of luck.
I hope so.
The knife here on the ledge. Down you come, Mug.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I think so.
I told you to stay by the door upstairs.
Well, you said to let you know if she comes, so I figured the best way was to watch her. I followed her down here. Then she left and went back upstairs. I turned to follow her, and I got hit on the head not 5 minutes ago. And somebody strung me up.
While you were unconscious.
Yeah.
Well, let's get out while we can.
I'm for that.
Come on.
Sure.
Aren't you coming?
What? Oh, yes, I suppose so.
I wish you'd hurry.
Please, boss, hurry.
I don't think there's any need.
Well, I'm getting out.
Well, you'd think there was a need if you got hit on the head and got strung up by your thumbs.
Our only chance is to leave while he's still upstairs,
but
if we can.
I'm still upstairs, my dear.
Oh.
Just stand where you are.
What are you going to do, Arthur?
I don't know. I thought you were going to meet me up at the side entrance, Mr. Cortland.
Sorry, I couldn't wait.
For $100,000?
You wouldn't have had it for me.
No, I treat swindlers my own way.
So I see.
Don't you think my rate's reasonable?
Very amusing.
I'm sorry you three had to find my conference room altogether. I'd planned to take care of you one at a time.
Arthur, you mustn't believe what people say. I didn't want
to... I had my detectives trace your estate in Spain, my dear. The deed you offered for $500,000 is a clever bit of printing.
How can you say that?
I can because I know. And as for you, Mr. Cortland, and your friend, stand back. I know how to use this automatic. I learned just for such instances as this. Watch. Two bullseyes in the Iron Maiden. The National Trade Fast Corporation is the biggest swindling outfit I've ever encountered.
We didn't do nothing.
I've had my
we ain't
rates.
National...
I've had my rates for treating swindlers, Mr. Mugg. And all of you come above the 100,000 mark, which, as you can see, means death from the torture rack for each one of you.
A pound per 1,000 for 100,000 and over.
That means each of you will be tied on the rack, flat on your back, a rope on each limb. Then we start to pull you apart. Pound of pressure for each $1,000 you tried to steal from me.
We only tried for 100,000. That makes 50,000 apiece. That means we're in a smaller bracket.
I'm sorry, I don't see it that way.
Oh, you're insane, completely insane.
Well, let's get down to business. I always take care of swindlers properly. Bring them up here.
Oh, Court, can't you do something?
I'm afraid Mr. Cortland is so dumbfounded or frightened he can't speak.
Boss.
You first, Mr. Mike. Just climb on the rack. Lie out flat.
Look, can we talk
this on the rack, please.
Well, you might as well shoot me and get it over with.
I'm sure you prefer to live even a little longer. On the rack.
All right.
Andrew, you tie the ropes around his ankles and his wrists. Then we'll pull him apart. See what makes him tick.
Huh?
Oh, no.
On the rack, Mr. Mugg.
Please, I didn't do that.
Get your bags, Mugg. I think it's time we were leaving.
Huh?
Stay back, or I'll shoot.
I don't think you will, Mr. Leeds.
I will.
We wish to leave, and we shan't bother you again.
I'll shoot.
I'm sure you wouldn't kill such a beautiful woman as Miss Andrea, or such a handsome man as myself. Now, would you?
I'm warning you.
Come on, Miss Andrea. Mug.
Yeah.
You'll have to shoot me to hit Miss Andrea. Go get the bags, Mug. We'll meet you outside.
Sure.
Watch out.
Go on, Mug.
But he'll shoot.
No, he won't.
I sure will.
Mug.
Yeah.
Go on.
But he'll throw me.
Have I ever given you a wrong steer, as you call it?
No.
Then go get our bags, as I tell you.
I'll shoot. I'll get you right between the eyes.
Boss.
Go on. He won't hurt you.
You sure?
I'm quite sure.
You're asking for it?
Go on, Mug.
All right. If you say so.
Now, Miss Andrea, shall we go?
I,
Good night, Mr. Lee.
Yes.
And thank you for a very interesting experience.
Yes.
I assure you, I shall never forget it.
I'll shoot.
Of course. Come on, Miss Andrea.
I'll shoot you so full of holes you'll never swindle anybody again.
Yes, I'm sure you will. Good night.
You come back here, or I'll shoot.
We can leave through the front entrance. My hat and cane are in the front hall.
You were wonderful.
We'll talk about that later. It's a new Homburg, and I have such trouble finding hats that suit my face.
Oh, hurry, please, hurry.
If you wish it, my dear.
Oh, please, before he changes his mind.
And that must be our train coming now. I hope Mug gets here in time.
Are you sure he's all right? Perhaps we should have waited for him.
Oh, he's quite all right, I assure you, Miss Andrea.
But you didn't tell him we were.
We have a standing agreement to meet at the nearest railroad station when we are forced to take our leave in, somewhat forced circumstances. So don't you worry your pretty little head. Why are you staring like that?
It's hard to believe.
Believe what?
You don't look like a hero.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You made him have to shoot you first before he could kill me.
Did I? Oh, yes.
That was very brave.
Thank you.
And such iron nerves it took to face him down the way you did.
Oh, it was nothing, nothing really.
Well, I think it was.
Yeah, do you? Well, I merely...
And it taught me a very important lesson.
Yes, my dear.
I'm going to get a job.
Oh, I see.
When even you were outsmarted, what chance do I have? I can't face down an insane killer with a gun. I always thought brains were all you needed. I don't have that kind of courage. You do.
I hope you're very happy.
I will be.
So now you can be respectable.
Yes, Court. If brains can't win over brawn and courage, then...
Oh, I was looking for you,
What kept you so long? The train's coming.
Well, if I knew it was coming,
You've been drinking.
Yeah, just a couple with good old Leedsy.
Leedsy? Oh, I see.
Very, very nice guy. We had a long, long talk. Long talk.
All right. Here's our train.
What's this, Leedsy?
Very clever guy, too. Very clever. Hey, you know why he threw the knife at you, boss?
Yes. Well, goodbye, Miss Andrea.
The scariest, that's all. Just the scariest. He was laughing so hard, I thought he'd break a rib.
Laughing?
It was very funny. Hey, he's an amateur,
psychologist?
Yeah, that's it, what you said. He believes everybody's got guilty feelings. So to know the truth about people, he takes them up to the castle and he scares them. And if they got something on their mind, it comes out.
I see.
Ain't that funny? We were scared.
Come on, Mark, come on. Goodbye, Andrea.
Hey, and you know what the blood was? Ketchup.
What?
Yeah, and he had blanks in the gun. Hey, you knew it, didn't you, boy?
Well, yes, of course. Come on.
You know, when you found a knife to cut me down so convenient, it was all a fake. Leedsy said you did.
Of course, now, get on the train.
Wait a minute.
You sure got brains, boss. I was really scared. But he does it to everybody, he said. Has fun scaring people into being themselves instead of phonies. But you were smarter than him. You figured it out.
Brains, Court, wait.
Yes, my dear?
It wasn't courage.
Why should it have been? I never doubted my intelligence.
And you'd let me get a job and be honest.
You had the beauty, but not enough...
Beauty in your brains. Nothing could stop us.
What?
Work together. We could do anything. Beauty in brains.
Oh, yes.
What?
Conductor, we haven't any tickets, but at the next stop...
Just get on board. We'll check space for you in Washington.
Come on, Court.
Thank you.
We can do anything, Court. Three of us. Beauty, brains, and brawn. Right, Mud?
Washington.
You can say that twice.
Washington.
The Hungry Peacock, a story of one thrilling moment in a man's life, starring Basil Rathbun and Anna Lee. Until next week, when you can again hear High Adventure as part of a full hour and a half of High Adventure and Mystery over NBC at this time, this is George Hogan saying, wherever you are, those around you live it, and perhaps you yourself may someday experience it. That one thrilling moment of a lifetime that can only be called High Adventure. Now, here's special news. Introducing new Schulten shampoo in the unbreakable plastic bottle. New Schulten shampoo has an up-to-the-minute formula which leaves hair wonderfully clean, dandruff-free, easy to manage. And ladies, new Schulten shampoo actually gives your hair beautiful additional luster. And here's a real shampoo first. Schulten shampoo leaves hair pleasantly scented with Old Spice. New Schulten shampoo in the unbreakable bottle bears the Good Housekeeping Guarantee seal at drug department and cosmetic stores everywhere. A new kind of mystery. $1,000 reward. Hear it today on NBC.
And now, stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history. The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. Transcribed by the Signal Oil Company for Christmas Eve to enable the entire production staff of The Whistler to spend Christmas Eve at home with their families. Signal, the famous Go Farther gasoline, invites you to sit back and enjoy another strange story by The Whistler.
I am The Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now for the Signal Oil Company, The Whistler brings you a most unusual story. One of the most heartwarming stories of our time, especially appealing this Christmas Eve. Three Wise Guys.
"'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. Even Broadway, that glamorous avenue of make-believe in faraway New York, seemed empty, deserted. Most cafes and eating places were closed, but the doors of an occasional refuge for those hardy souls who prefer to walk alone were still open. Such a place was Good Time Charlie's Bar on 49th Street, where on another Christmas Eve, a series of unusual events began, ending in one of the most unusual stories Good Time Charlie had ever listened to. At the moment, Charlie is listening to the voice of a man named Al.
As is well known to one and all, Charlie, I am not one to complain. But it strikes me that Broadway would bring very little tonight on the open market.
I know you 10, maybe 15 years, Al. Until now, I don't know you know there is an open market.
Oh, for the past 12 months that I know of, I am 100% legitimate. Honest, legitimate Al.
Want another rock candy and rye? Without the rock candy?
I very seldom indulge in alcoholic beverages. But in answer to your question, yes.
Haven't seen you for a year, Al. Want to run over that part again where you tell me you're playing it straight for the past 12 months?
As of last Christmas Eve, I am a 100% honest ticket scalper. I do not make a killing, but I get that good warm feeling that comes with being 100% legit.
It feels good to play it straight?
Cozy.
You want to tell me about it, Al?
I do not mind if I do, Good Time Charlie. It all begins a year ago tonight, right here in your strictly high-class drum. Blondie Swanson was here with me, remember?
Yeah, I think I do remember, Al.
Now, Blondie Swanson is one of the gentry which operates on that side of the law as very few call right. Though Blondie himself always feels this is a matter of opinion. But Blondie is not concerned with his racket a year ago tonight. You are busy chauffeuring the bar, Good Time Charlie, so maybe you do not notice the sad scene. Yep, it is last year, just about this same time, when Blondie comes in here, his big frame pretzeled with grief.
Hello, Al.
Well, hiya, Blondie. I see you are not so happy tonight. Why not join me in a medicinal rock candy and rye, without the rock candy? I am fighting off a touch of grip.
Okay, Al. I got a bad case of memories tonight. If I can pack away the grip, maybe it can take a load off my memory.
Hey, Charlie, two more rock candies and rice, without the rock candy.
I'll slide them down.
Are these conversational memories, Blondie, or shall we give them to Clint?
You recall a doll named Clarabelle Cobb, Al.
Miss Clarabelle Cobb? Of course I do. She is well known to one and all on Broadway as a leading light with George White's Scandal some years back.
Yeah, well, Christmas Eve is an anniversary for me. It was on Christmas Eve that Clarabelle left me to marry an honest guy in Akron, Ohio.
Here you are.
Oh, drink up, honey. Up to now, I remember Miss Clarabelle Cobb as a doll with Class A judgment. Why did she put distance between her and you?
Well, Clarabelle was a gal that didn't care as much about how much money you had as she did where you got it. She felt that my role was ample but tainted.
And this is why she puts on the exit?
Right. I can see now that she was right, but now it's too late.
But there must be other dolls as beautiful and desirable, and not such quizmasters as to where the scratch comes from.
I'll never look at another doll again, Al. They're there for other guys.
Hey, Blondie. Blondie Swanson.
Well, if it ain't the Dutchman. Well, look, Al.
Al, Blondie, Yuletide's all around.
Oh, I cannot believe my eyes, Dutchman. I have not seen you in these parts for maybe a full calendar or so.
I've been detained in the West. Oh, it's a sad story. And I can see that all you two guys need is one more sad story. But you're not going to hear none. I got good news for you.
And you have come to the right place, Dutchman. I always get kind of down on Christmas Eve.
What I'm going to tell you will give you a big lift. Blondie, you and me have pulled a few fast deals together. But I got one tonight that's the softest touch of all. Oh, you can listen, Al. We'll cut you in, too.
I have turned down soft touches before. But not wishing to be rude, I will hear you out.
Well, some months back, three other guys and me knocked off a tin safe in a factory over in Pennsylvania. It was a cinch haul on account of we received a dead center tip. The tip was on the level. So we stashed 50 G's in our grip sack and get set to hit the open road.
Something detained you?
The cops. After hot blasting from both sides, I find myself alone on the lam with 50 G's in the grip sack. But it's not a clean getaway, and I figure it's better to find a hiding place for the dough. Not wanting to be caught with the goods.
I am beginning to get the idea. You're suggesting that the three of us go for this dough tonight and cut it three ways.
That's the idea. It's in an unpopulated barn, under the floorboards. When I decide to go get it, the first guy I think of is you, Blondie. How about it?
I must admit, I got no other plans, Dutchman. Nice of you to think of me. Count me in.
How about you, Al?
I am not generally known as a spoilsport, but this prospect frankly holds no appeal to me. I do not wish to join the party.
This your final answer?
Yes, Dutchman, you may quote me. I will not go with you. Well, good time, Charlie. That's the way it went. I am certain I will not leave your bistro that night. I am negative to the whole scheme, and I'm nixing it loud and clear to one and all. So imagine my surprise at some later point to find myself warm and cozy in the back seat of the Dutchman's ancient philosophy, dogging it through the snow-covered countryside. The whole setting is so peaceful, I am catching small doses of snooze. But in between times, I cannot help but overhear the upfront conversation of Blondie and the Dutchman.
You sure this is the right road, Dutchman?
Certainly I'm sure. I can fly this road blind if necessary.
You are not flying blind now, so you must have noticed that the radiator is percolating again. I think we better stop and take on another load of snow.
Guess we'll have to. But I sure hate these delays.
Hey, Dutchman. Listen. Must be coming from that little church.
Yeah. Come on, help put the snow in the radiator.
Sounds real pretty, that kind of singing.
You think that's pretty? Well, you hear real music. The kind money makes when it's crisp.
Hey, Blondie, Dutchman, where are we?
In Pennsylvania, Al. Not far from that barn where I stashed the factory payroll.
How can you tell? I, for one, see very little but darkness around and about.
I got to agree with Al, Dutchman. I got a feeling we're lost. Maybe we better give the whole scheme up.
You two give up easy. I tell you, I know for certain we're close to that barn. I can tell by that big fat star I've been following for the last few miles.
Oh, yeah. I am seeing a small light ahead. But I observe if this is a star, it is hanging very low to the ground.
I still got a feeling we are lost. Why don't we go back to Good Time Charlie's, which is a lot easier to find?
I don't care how low this star is hanging. I know it's leading me straight. I'm running this show, so you two better seal up. There, look. I'm right as rain. This is a barn.
I do not wish to start an exchange of words, but that star you follow turns out to be nothing more than a light from the window of said barn.
Ah, okay. So somebody's living in the barn. I'll take care of them if they're too hard to get along with.
I vote for getting out of here.
I am not dressed to call on strangers myself.
Come on, then cut the gab. Besides, maybe there's only animals in the barn. I don't see no human footprints in the snow, except ours. I'll be doggone. Look through that window, Blondie. Is that a doll in there?
Let me see. Yeah. Yeah, she's a doll. Not only that, I don't think she's feeling in the pink either. Well, now that we are here, let us go inside and see if there's anything we can do for her.
I don't care nothing about a sick doll. I want to lay my mitts on that grip sack with a 50 G's in it. Come on.
Who's there? Who are you?
We mean no harm. Well, for... if it ain't Miss Clarabelle Cobb in person.
Friends, to all of you who have opened your homes to the Whistler, not only throughout the year, but even tonight on Christmas Eve, the Signal Oil Company has asked me to express their sincere appreciation for this privilege and pleasure. And we of the cast want to add our thank you, too. During the 8 consecutive years that the Whistler has been broadcast by Signal Oil Company, many of us have celebrated Christmas with many of you a number of times. And believe me, we're mighty proud that you consider us part of your entertainment family. Tonight, on behalf of Signal Oil Company and the independent Signal dealers who serve you in the states of California, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Nevada, Arizona, and Utah, I want to convey warmest season's greetings. May the many blessings of living in these United States of America enrich your holiday season and the new year.
Yes, Al, that isolated barn in the snow-swept Pennsylvania countryside, so far removed from Good Time Charlie's Bar, where you're now enjoying Charlie's Rock Candy and Rye without the rock candy, held a surprising development for you, Blondie Swanson, and the Dutchman, didn't it? The three of you had driven there that Christmas Eve a year ago to claim the $50,000 payroll the Dutchman had hidden there. The presence of Miss Clarabelle Cobb in the barn at your arrival was something not even her ex-boyfriend, Blondie Swanson, could fathom immediately. And you were even more puzzled than Blondie, weren't you, Al? Only the Dutchman seemed to have the faintest understanding of what it's all about. So you turned to the Dutchman.
Dutchman, I am not understanding all this. Why do you not inform us?
Listen, Al, you and Blondie better clear out of here for a while. Take a walk in the snow. I guess I'll have to take care of this doll.
Huh? Look, Dutchman, I haven't seen Clarabelle for a long time. If you think I'm going to leave her now and go for a walk with Al, you are nuts.
Besides which, Dutchman, this doll is clearly at grips with some strange malady. I do not think it is polite the three of us should visit in this manner at this time.
Listen, I came here to get 50 G's, not a sick doll and a lot of lip from you two. This won't take long, so blow.
But, Dutchman...
I'm getting fed up with you, Blondie. I know what I'm doing. I've delivered 7 of the 8 kids my wife had. I never needed no doctor. This one will be a cinch. Now, will you get out of here?
I cannot help but say this is quite a night for surprises, Blondie.
Yeah.
I, for one, can take winter sports or leave them to someone else.
Al.
Yeah, Blondie.
We could take the Dutchman's car there. You think Clarabelle will be better off if we get her a doc?
Well, I am new in this racket, Blondie. But if you want an inexperienced opinion, I will say...
What was that?
What?
Dad!
Well, Blondie, I am new in this racket. But if you want an inexperienced opinion, I will say... Miss Clarabelle Cobb is a cinch mother. Come on, let's get back to the barn.
I wish you wouldn't cry, Clarabelle. No sense crying.
Oh, Blondie.
I know. If all of a sudden I found myself with a brand new kid, I wouldn't be crying. Especially since it's such a beautiful kid.
You really think he's beautiful, Blondie?
Oh, I sure do. He's sleeping, huh?
Uh-huh. Bless his heart. If he only gets a break.
Oh, don't worry about him, Clarabelle. A beautiful kid like that, they love him in Akron.
Oh, Blondie, there's so much I want to tell you.
Yeah, but maybe you ought to straighten out yourself, huh?
Not till I tell you, Blondie. You've got to know about everything. Why I'm staying here in Dr. Kelton's barn. About Joe, my husband. He's in such trouble, Blondie. He's in jail.
Come on, Al. Let's go find the grip sack. I know right where it is. Look, Al, this is more like it. Yeah, it's all there. $50,000.
A very likely sight.
This is all that counts, a fat swatch of cash, especially if it's mine. Come on, let's get Blondie and clean out of this barn.
You ain't going anywhere with that dough, Dutchman.
You want to play that again, Blondie?
Same song. I said you ain't going anywhere with that dough.
Now, you tell me what he said, Al. I don't like what I'm hearing.
Blondie has mouthed the same identical words two times around, Dutchman. And I, for one, get the impression he means it.
I do. You didn't tell us the whole story of this dough and how you came by it, Dutchman.
Now, listen, Blondie.
No, I've been listening. I heard everything you said about this factory payroll job you pulled. And you never did say anything about trussing up the bookkeeper at the factory that night.
So what?
Not only that, you make it look like it's an inside job and leave the bookkeeper to take the rap.
So they gotta nail somebody for it. Why are you building such a case for this cluck bookkeeper?
This cluck bookkeeper, Joseph Hatcher, happens to be Clarabelle's husband. That's his kid you deliver, Dutchman.
No kidding.
No kidding.
Did Miss Clarabelle Cobb tell you all this, Blondie?
She told me plenty. This Joseph Hatcher's been cooling in the clink ever since. He was doing a special bookkeeping job for his factory. Came here from Akron to do it. He's a right guy, an honest guy. Or can you understand that, Dutchman?
Here, Blondie, here's something honest I understand. Hey. Yeah, a gun.
Easy, Dutchman.
Shut up, Al. Now, look, Blondie, I've been patient with you. I know you're soft for this doll, and that's your business. But you're interfering with mine, Blondie, and I don't like that. Now, let's get out of here with the dough and quick. I said, come on, let's get going.
Dutchman, please put the iron away. It is not in keeping with the season to pull a heater on, Blondie. In addition to which, the shouting is apt to wake that kid, who is a pretty tired character like his mama.
Well, now you're going soft, Al. What's with you two?
Listen, Dutchman. Clarabelle's husband don't know she's living in this barn. When she heard they'd sorted him away on a bum rap, she came here to try to help him. And she found out she was going to have a kid, and she looked up a doc here, a guy named Kelton. Clarabelle's got no dough. But Doc Kelton gives her first-rate care all up to now. Even fixes it so she can stay in his barn. It is not great, but it beats living in a snowbank.
Stow it, will you?
The heater, Dutchman. Hide it, huh?
Yeah, okay. But I'm still running the show, wise guys. And this is what we do. Blondie, here's the grip sack. Take my crate out there and find this Doc Kelton character. Pay him off for what he's already done for the doll. Give him some more for taking care of her and a kid from here on in. Then bring the grip sack back here, and we'll blow.
Yeah, you bet, Dutchman.
And you can tell this doctor a couple of things for me. Tell him to get Clarabelle and the kid to a hospital where they belong.
Sure, Dutchman, sure.
And tell him that till now we didn't need no doc, that the Dutchman took care of things perfect, and that Mama and kid are doing nice. Real nice.
For all of you who play Canasta or have been thinking of taking up the game, there's a little Christmas gift for you at your nearest Signal service station. It's a 12-page booklet on that exciting new version of Canasta, Hollywood's three-deck Canasta, which is replacing the old two-deck game practically everywhere it's been tried. In fact, Robert Lee Johnson, the only Pacific Coast member of the National Canasta Laws Commission, says of this game, You'll never know how much fun cards can be until you've played this exciting new three-deck game. It has completely replaced two-deck canasta with all my friends in Hollywood. And friends, the booklet I mentioned is written by the man who devised this new game. So the rules are both complete and authentic. Right now, in fact, this booklet is being sold by leading department stores in 32 states. But you needn't buy a copy. One is waiting for you free while the supply lasts at any Signal service station. It is the hope of your Signal dealer that this fun-packed new version of Canasta will add to the card-playing pleasure of your holidays.
It was almost midnight on Christmas Eve at Good Time Charlie's Bar on West 49th Street. As Al continued his amazing account of the story of that other Christmas Eve that crossed the lives of Blondie Swanson, Miss Clarabelle Cobb and her newborn son, the Dutchman, and his gripsack containing $50,000. As Al continued talking to Good Time Charlie, a faraway look came into his eyes.
So you see, Good Time Charlie, it is no more than small wonder that since all this takes place a year ago this very night, me, Blondie, and the Dutchman have settled down to 100% legitimate endeavors.
Yeah, sure, and why not? A three-way split on almost 50 stolen G's is a cinch beginning to this straight and narrow.
You are laboring, as they say, under a misapprehension, Good Time Charlie. I see now where it is only fair I tell you the rest of this story. Blondie makes the deal with Doc Kelton to get Miss Clarabelle Cobb and her brand new kid out of that barn and into a Class A hospital arrangement. The three of us are once again in the Dutchman's hot rod, beating it along the streets of some pint-sized burg in Pennsylvania, thinking to leave this territory for them as once.
You know, maybe age is catching up with me. I ought to feel great right now. We still got nearly 50,000 clams in that grip sack, and somehow I don't feel great at all. You did bring the gripsack back from Doc Kelton's, Blondie.
Yeah, sure I did, Dutchman. The gripsack's in the back seat with Al.
Funny. It don't feel good. And it should.
Perhaps a touch of rock candy and rye, without the rock candy, would warm your heart, Dutchman.
Oh, maybe so. Pass up the bottle.
I am willing to do this, but the bottle will be of small comfort,
as it is empty.
Oh, well, thanks for nothing. Oh, well. Just nudge the motor and we'll blow this burg. Get back to native territory. New York ought to look pretty good.
Hey, better slow down, Dutchman. The law is gaining on you.
Oh, great. Never saw such a night in my life.
That red light back there was no Christmas tree ornament. You should have stopped.
Sorry, officer.
And you're in a church zone, clearly marked for 20 miles an hour. 40 is too much.
Was hurrying home for Christmas, officer.
Carrying toys for the kiddies in this tub, huh? I'll bet. I better have a look around. Oh, what's in this grip sack?
Oh, why, nothing, officer. As empty a grip sack as you'll ever run into.
Yeah.
No need to open it. It's empty.
You're right about that, mister. There's nothing there.
Easy, Dutchman.
But you sure? It's empty?
Sure, I'm sure. Weren't you?
Sure. I was sure. I just wanted you to be sure.
Carrying nothing but empties, huh? You guys empty this bottle all by yourselves?
This bottle is once full of medicine, officer. I myself have been warding off a touch of the grip. I am now in the pink, as the saying goes.
Oh, wise guys, huh? Three white guys. You know, if it weren't practically Christmas, I'd haul you in. Go on now, get out of our town. Oh, yeah, and Merry Christmas, three white guys.
Yeah, same to you.
Dutchman, I...
You know, Blondie, a while back you accused me of not telling you the whole story of that factory payroll job. Seems to me you forgot to tell me something pretty important, too. What is it about that grip sack being empty of nearly 50 G's that I ought to know?
Well, I figured to fill you in, Dutchman. You see...
Hey, look, Randy. Dutchman, it's that same little church.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know something? It's a miracle. I don't know yet what happened to that nearly 50 G's in the grip sack, but if that copper had caught us with that dough, we'd be on our way to the clink right now.
An astute observation.
Yeah. Well, you see, Dutchman, when I called on Doc Kelton tonight, I left all the dough with him, the whole 50 G's. I told him to give it back where it belongs. I told him enough more that the doc is sure he can spring Clarabelle's husband out of jail. So him and Clarabelle and the new kid can be together.
Say, this Doc Kelton is the right guy.
Oh, I'll say he is. He even agreed to give us a head start for the Pennsylvania border before he notifies the law.
This is the right guy.
Yeah, and we better oblige the doc and ourselves by making a border ahead of the cops. Hey, you know, that copper was right. Three wise guys, he called us. If we wasn't pretty wise, we'd have had all that cash on us when he pulled us over to the curb. I think it's a good idea we stay right on being three wise guys. I'm through stretching my luck. From here on in, I'm going to play it straight. And I'm still running a show, so you two wise guys are going straight with me. Okay?
Okay.
Agreed.
Wonder how far it is to the border. They got a lot of funny little burgs here in Pennsylvania. What was that one we just left, Blondie?
Oh, I saw a signboard back there, Wade. That burg is known as Bethlehem.
Before Christmas, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, three wise guys were strangely touched by the spirit of the season. A spirit born in another Bethlehem nearly 2,000 years ago. And tonight, on the eve of another Christmas, may we hope that this same eternal spirit will someday bring to wise guys throughout the world the understanding that the future of the peoples of Earth rests in goodwill toward all men.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Sunday night at this same time. Signal Oil Company has asked me to remind you, this week it's especially important to drive at sensible speed, be courteous, and obey traffic regulations, so some avoidable accident doesn't mar the holiday season for you. Remember what I said at the beginning of the program, friends? That you'd find tonight's story unusual and heartwarming. Now, wasn't I right? I'm sure many of you recognized it as one of the late and great Damon Runyon's most famous tales. The radio adaptation was by Kathleen Height. Featured in tonight's story were Bill Foreman, John Brown, Marvin Miller, and Jack Moyle. The Whistler was transcribed and directed by George W. Allen, with music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. The Whistler is entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarity of names or resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Remember at the same time next Sunday another strange tale by The Whistler. Marvin Miller speaking for the Signal Oil Company.
The Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed our stories this week. Be back next Tuesday with more. But in between now and then, you can find more old-time radio at relicradio.com. All the other podcasts are there. Thousands of other old-time radio shows, our Shoutcast stream, and our Donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all of the shows, it's how it's all made possible. Visit donate.relicradio.com for more on that. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.